رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. The Islamic Center of East Orange at 61 Lincoln Street is presenting today's program. And we'd like to thank everyone for attending and supporting this event. And the first topic is Save the Community, Take Another Wife. This talk is addressed more so to the men and the women, but we'll address both the men and the women, inshallah ta'ala. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, chapter The Women, verse number 3, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa in this verse, If you fear that you can't be just among the orphan women, then I command you to marry, or I recommend you, or advise you to marry whoever you choose, whoever you like among the women, and we'll translate the rest of that verse, inshallah ta'ala, later on in this talk. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa in this verse is advising the men to get married. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is advising the men to get married, and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam explains in clearer terms as he says, الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعُ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ And this is collected by Imam Muslim and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this whole world is a commodity or a possession, and the best commodity or possession is a righteous lady. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, though he's not commanding us directly to get married, he is showing us indirectly the importance of marriage and the importance of having a righteous wife, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam shows us in the narration collected by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Hibban, and it's authentic, where he says, أَرْبَعٌ مِنَ السَّعَادَةِ الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ to the end of the hadith. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in this hadith said there are four things from happiness. There are four things from happiness, and he mentioned firstly a righteous lady, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam And the narration of Ibn Majah, and it's authentic, inshaAllah ta'ala. He says, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ لِيَتَّخِذْ أَحَدُكُمْ قَلْبًا شَاكِرًا وَلِسَانًا ذَاكِرًا وَزَوْجَةً مُؤْمِنَةً تَعِينُ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ الْآخِرَةِ. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I command one of you to make sure that he has a thankful heart, a tongue that remembers his Lord, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and a believing wife, so that she could help one of you for the affairs of the hereafter. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us more so the importance of having a righteous wife, as she is the one who would help us get to Jannah, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is showing us in this authentic hadith. And we know that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, from his sunnah, he had married, and he showed us the importance of marriage, as we know from the story when those three men were talking about that which they were going to do in Islam, and they brought that information back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and among them was a man who said, I will never marry women. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, when those people came to him, he said, أَنْتُمُ الَّذِينَ قُلْتُمْ كَذَا وَكَذَا أَمَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ لَهُ لَكِنِّي أَصُومُ وَأَفْطِرُ وَأُصَلِّ وَأَرْقُدُ وَأَتَزَوُّجُ النِّسَاءِ فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, are you the people who are saying such and such? Referring to the man who said that he will not marry women and the other men, and they mentioned what they mentioned in that hadith. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, don't you know that I swear by Allah that I fear Allah the most from amongst you all, and I am more submissive to him, but I fast and I break my fast, I make salat and I go to sleep, and this is referring to the night salat, and I marry women, so whoever is opposed to my sunnah, he is not from among me. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us the more than just the importance of marriage, but that whoever has no desire to marry, then the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. That whoever is displeased with my sunnah, then he's not from among me. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that the Muslim men are the men who marry. And the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam not only encourages the Muslim men to get married, but the younger Muslim men, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam encourages them to get married, as he says in the authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَزَوِّجْ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O you group of young men, whoever has the ability to get married, financially and otherwise, whoever has the ability to get married, then I command him to get married, and whoever does not have the ability, then I command him to fast, because it is a means of castration. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is even encouraging the younger people from among us to guard their private parts, and to marry, and to be among the ummah of the Muslim men who marry the women, as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam has established for the believers. So we see that marriage is important in Islam, and it is important for the men to have their share of women by marrying them, following the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best example for us, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you will find in the Messenger of Allah the finest example. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he has encouraged us to get married, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has commanded us and encouraged us to get married, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us some guidance in who to choose as our mate when we're looking to get married. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this first hadith, showing us who are the women that we should be desiring when we desire to get married, he says, alayhi salatu wa sallam, تنكح المرأة لأربع لمالها ولحسبها ولجمالها ولجمالها ولدينها فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يدا. And this hadith is collected by Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a lady is married for four reasons. She's married for her wealth, or for her status, or for her beauty, or for her deen. Marry the one who has the deen and she'll take care of you. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us that the first point that we want to consider when we marry a lady is the lady with the deen. Because these are the best women. Rather, these are the best people in general, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hujurat, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah are the ones that are most God-fearing. Those people who have deen, and these are the women that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is commanding us to marry. The Prophet, or recommending us to marry. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he also gives us, other than this, as advice for who we should marry, as he says, as it is said by Ma'qal ibn Yasar in this authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i and other than them. جاء رجل إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إني أصبت امرأة ذات حسب وجمال وإنها لا تلد أفأتزوجها؟ قال لا. ثم أتاه الثانية فنهاه، ثم أتاه الثالثة فقال تزوج الودود الولود فإني مكافر بكم الأمم. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is giving us advice among the women we should marry. As Ma'qal ibn Yasar says, a man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I have a lady with a high status in society and a lot of beauty. However, she's not able to have children. Should I marry her? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. So he came back a second time, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited him from marrying that lady. And he came back a third time, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I command you to marry the women who are loving, meaning you're going to love them a lot, and they're going to love you, and those women who are fruitful to have children, because indeed I want you all to be the biggest ummah, the biggest nation from among the nations. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is advising us to marry the women that are fruitful, the women who have the ability to have children, those women who are loving to their husbands and are going to be loved by their husbands, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us. Also among the women that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam has advised us to marry are the virgin women. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْأَبَكَارِ فَإِنَّهُنَّ أَعْظَبُ أَفْوَاهَا وَأَنْتَقُ أَرْحَامًا وَأَرْضَى بِالْيَسِيرِ. And this hadith is collected by Ibn Majah and other than Ibn Majah, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I command you to marry the virgins. I command you, or I advise you to marry the virgins, because indeed they are a'zabu afwahan, and I forgot the meaning of that, and they are antaqu arhaman, and I forgot the meaning of that, and they are easier to please, and I remember the meaning of that. And the reason that I don't remember the meaning of these hadith, as I wasn't scheduled to do this talk and I had to prepare at the last minute for it, so you can excuse me, and maybe in a future time we can give the translation of this hadith. But here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he has advised us and has encouraged us to marry the virgin, those people who have never been married before or who have never been intimate with anyone before in their lives, as this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. And I'm saying this because no women should feel upset over the guidance of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also advises us to marry the women who are obedient, and those women who look good, and those women who won't oppose their husbands, as he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was questioned, ayyun nisa'i khayr, qal khayrun nisa'i allati tasurruhu idha nazara wa tuti'uhu idha amara wa la tukhalifuhu fi nafsiha wa maliha bima yakrahu. And this hadith is collected by Ibn Majah and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was questioned, which women are the best women? And the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, those women, when you look at them, they please you. And when you command them, they obey you, and they don't oppose you with themselves or with the wealth that they have in a manner that you would dislike. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is advising the men to marry those women who look good. Of course, the beautiful women and the beauty of the women is after the deen. Not that you're going to put the beauty over the deen, as we saw from the other hadith of the lady who had status and the lady who had beauty, but she wasn't able to have children. And the same thing with the lady who is beautiful, but she doesn't have any deen. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has advised us to marry the women who have the deen, because they will take care of you. After the lady has the deen, then you want a lady who's going to look good when you look at her. She's going to please your eyes when you look at her. And this is from the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are other authentic hadith where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam has encouraged the men to look. And this is after he has proposed to the lady by means of her wali, and they think that it's a possibility, a strong possibility for him to marry her. This is the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, as we have explained in our classes on marriage, has encouraged the man to look at that lady in a manner that would encourage him to marry her and to be intimate with her. And this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam gives us another piece of advice in marrying the women, and this is also from the hadith of Ibn Majah, as he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَخَيَّرُوا لِنُطْفِكُمْ وَانْكِحُوا الْأَكِفَّاءِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, choose that which is best for your sperm, for your seed. Choose that which is best for your seed and marry those women who are compatible with you. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that we should marry the women that are compatible with us, that we have some interests alike or something like that, and that this would, inshallah ta'ala, be that which is needed in order to keep the marriage ongoing. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he also advises us against marrying particular women, as he says, alayhi salatu wassalam, sharru nisa'ikum al-mutabarrijat, to the end of that hadith. And it's collected by Imam al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, the worst of your women are those women who are mutabarrijat, those women who go outside their houses and display the beauty of that which should be hidden. They display that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has prohibited. They are the worst of your women. So if the women aren't covering themselves as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has commanded, and as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed the women to cover themselves, if you get a look at them and they're not covered properly, then know that they are the worst women among our women. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam in this hadith is advising us not to marry the women who are exposing themselves in a manner that's not permissible. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam also gives us some advice which is similar to this, and this is from the hadith where Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَ إِنَّ عِنْدِي إِمْرَأَةً هِيَ مِنْ أَحَبِّ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ وَهِيَ لَا تَرُدُّ لَامِسْ قَالَ طَلِّقْهَا قَالَ لَا أَصْبِرُ عَنْهَا قَالَ إِسْتَمْتَعْ بِهَا. And this hadith is authentic and is collected by Abu Dawood and Imam al-Nasa'i and other than them, where a man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, indeed I have a lady, she is among the most beloved of humanity to me, except that she doesn't turn or she doesn't refuse the hand of someone who's going to approach her, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This phrase here and the ulama, they differ as to the exact meaning of it, but at any rate, that which is meant or understood by this in general is the lady that seems to be a little too friendly or a little too sociable to other than her husband. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I command you to divorce her. He said, but I can't do without her. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, enjoy yourself with her. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, he is advising us not to choose those women who we feel would be out there, for lack of better words, or too friendly to other than their husbands when we're seeking to marry them. As we know, some of the women, they have a sociable type of character where they kind of intermingle and mingle too much. And I'm not saying in a haram manner necessarily, but these women, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, as he's seeing, he's advising us not to marry those women. But as we know, the desire of a man is stronger, and sometimes he just can't do without a particular lady. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam says, enjoy her. Enjoy her knowing that she's like this, and don't hold it against her then. Don't hold, if you have to be with her, then don't hold this thing against her. All the time coming up to her and telling her, oh, why are you so friendly? Why do you do this? Why do you? Divorce her if you don't like that. Otherwise, just enjoy her if you love her, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has advised this man. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has also advised us to marry the women that would make it easier on us financially, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna man yumni al mar'a تيسير خطبتها وتيسير صداقها صداقها وتيسير رحمها قال عروة يعني تيسير رحمها للولادة. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith, says, indeed, from the virtues of a woman, or as what is meant by inna min yumni al-mar'a, that it is easy to propose to her, and that it is easy amount of dowry to pay to her, or sadaq or mahr, and that is easy for her to have children. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that also among the women to marry are those women who are going to make it easier on their husbands financially. And this point, we're hinting at a particular type of lady that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also speaking about in this authentic hadith that we're about to mention from Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this is the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, تزوجت امرأة في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلقيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا جابر تزوجت؟ قلت نعم. قال بكرا أم ثيبا؟ قلت ثيبا. قال فهلا بكرا تلاعبها وتلاعبك؟ وفي رواية لمسلم قال فأين أنت من العذارى ولعابها؟ وفي رواية للبخاري قال فهلا جارية تلاعبك؟ قلت يا رسول الله إن أبي قتل يوم أحد وترك 9 بنات كن لي 9 أخوات فكرهت أن أجمع إليهن جارية خرقاء مثلهن، ولكن امرأة تمشطهن وتقوم عليهن. قال أصبت. In this hadith from Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that I married a lady during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I met the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he said, Jabir, did you get married? I said, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a virgin or a lady that was previously married. He said, a lady that was previously married before. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if only you would have married a virgin so she could play with you and you could play with her. And in the narration of Imam Muslim, he said, Jabir, what about those virgins so that they can play with you? And in the narration of Imam Al-Bukhari, he said, what about a very young girl that you can play with? He said, O Messenger of Allah, my father, and up to this point, The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is encouraging the men to marry virgins. And this is all we know. But the women who sometimes understand from a hadith or an ayah that which we might not understand from the beginning, to show us something we need to learn, and this lecture, inshallah ta'ala, is based on the wisdom and the understanding of some of the women, as we're going to see from the rest of this hadith, where Jabir said, Ya Rasulullah, indeed my father was killed on the day of Uhud, and he left behind 9 daughters, and these 9 daughters are my sisters. And I didn't want to marry a young lady just like them, but I wanted to marry a lady that would handle their affairs and take care of them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you are correct. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are correct. Here we see from this narration of this hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing the men that something that they could do which is good is to marry women that have already been married, because those women have virtues, as we see in this hadith, that they're able to handle the children. And that if a man, he had children from a previous marriage, and he married a lady that was married before, that she had children, she would be able to raise his children and to take care of his children in a manner that a young virgin girl wouldn't be able to. And when we're saying save our community, take another wife, we're saying marry some of the women who have already been married before and who may have some children, because they add something to a marriage that a young virgin girl cannot add to a marriage. They add something to a marriage that a young virgin girl couldn't add to a marriage. And this is from the encouragement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, this is from the stamp of the approval of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he says, you are correct, Jabir, and marrying that lady who was already married before, so that she could take care of your sisters who are young. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala also, he mentions in the Quran a verse that would show a virtue among the virtues of women who have already been married, and that is the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Tahrim, verse number 5, as he says, عَسَى رَبُّهُ أَن طَلَّقَكُنَّ أَن يُبْدِلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنَّ مُسْلِمَاتٍ مُؤْمِنَاتٍ قَانِتَاتٍ تَائِبَاتٍ عَابِدَاتٍ سَائِحَاتٍ طَيِّبَاتٍ وَأَبْكَارًا. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, maybe your Lord will divorce, maybe your Lord, maybe his Lord will allow him to divorce you. And here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is talking about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divorcing his wives. Maybe your Lord, maybe his Lord sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have him divorce you, the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to give him better wives than yourself. Muslims, believers, righteous, repenting, worshippers of Allah, fasters, those who have been married before, or virgins. And here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is showing the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, or the wives of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the rest of the believers, that Allah could replace the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam with women that are better than them, women who have already been married before. And we know the virtues of the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was trying to put the wives of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in check by showing them that there could be other women who have been married before that are better than them. And we know that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as some of the ulama say, if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala puts something in a particular order, he puts it in the order of importance, or in the order of its virtue. And here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, women who have been married before or virgins. And here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had put women who have been married before virgins. And this, inshallah ta'ala, is an encouragement for the men in the community to marry the women who have already been married before. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also shows us another reason why we should marry the women who have been married previously. As he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تنكح الأيمن الأيمن الأيم حتى تستأمر أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, says, a lady that has already been married before must not be married until she gives permission. A lady that was married before must not be married until she gives her permission. And in the other narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-aymu ahakku bi nafsiha min waliyha. The Prophet ﷺ said, a lady that was already married before has more right to herself than her wali. Here the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is showing us that the women who have been married before know best how to choose a mate for themselves than their wali, as opposed to the virgin girls who their fathers know best for them who to choose as a mate for them. The women who have already been married before and have tasted marriage and know what it takes and know what marriage is about, they know better than their walis what type of men are okay for them. And this is showing us that the women who have been married before, that if they choose you to be their husband, that more than likely they're going to make a good decision, because they will make a better decision than their wali in choosing the man who they need to be married, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hinting at in these authentic hadith. However, as a point of clarification, the women, when they hear this hadith, a lady has more right to herself who has been married before than her wali, she shouldn't understand this hadith, nor should the men understand this hadith the way that the ignorant have understood this hadith, by allowing a lady to be married without her wali. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ نُكِحَتْ أَوْ نَكَحَتْ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا فَنِكَاحُهَا بَاطِلٌ فَنِكَاحُهَا بَاطِلٌ فَنِكَاحُهَا بَاطِلٌ وَلَهَا مَهْرُهَا بِمَا أَصَابَ مِنْهَا فَإِنِ اشْتُجِرُوا فَإِنَّ السُّلْطَانَ وَلِيٌّ مَنْ لَا وَلِيَّ لَهُ. And this is collected by Abu Dawood in At-Tirmidhi, and this is authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, any lady that gets married without the permission of her wali, then the marriage is invalid, null and void. And if that marriage takes place that's invalid and null and void, and the man consummates the marriage, then that lady keeps the dowry because he had consummated the marriage. And if there's any difference on who should be the wali of a particular lady, then the leader is the wali for the sister who has no wali. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes it clear that the women are not allowed to get married without the permission of their walis. And that the women should not misunderstand, nor should the men misunderstand, that that statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lady who has been married before has more right to herself than her wali, this is referring to the decision of the man who is going to marry her. That she knows best who the man is to marry her than her wali, and not that she can marry herself or that another lady can marry herself. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it very clear in the narration of Ibn Majah, لا تزوج المرأة المرأة ولا تزوج المرأة نفسها فإن الزانية هي التي تزوج نفسها. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a lady should not marry another lady, nor should a lady marry herself, because indeed a zaniya, a fornicatress or an adulteress, is the one who marries herself. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in this authentic hadith, inshaAllah ta'ala, is showing us that the women who have already been married before, they know what to look for in a man. And they know how to choose a mate for themselves, and that if you propose to a particular lady, and after her wali checks you out and informs the sister of you,
and the sister decides, yes, this is the man I want to marry, then know that that lady will make a better decision than the wali will make for her, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam shows us. And these are some of the reasons why we should marry women who have already been married, as we see from the book of Allah and from the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And when it comes to saving our community, the Muslim community, we know that as we have accepted Islam here in America, that many or the majority of the women of this country are disbelieving women. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 221, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. And do not marry the disbelieving women until they believe. We don't have the option to just marry any of the women of America, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has already prohibited us from marrying the disbelieving women. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prohibited the Muslim men from marrying the disbelieving women. So right off the bat, that narrows down the women who we have the opportunity to marry. And then when we look at the women who are virgins from among the Muslim women, we see also that it's a small minority, as we are just the first generation and the second generation Muslims in America. So this is showing us also that the women who are in the majority among the Muslim women are the Muslim women who have been married before, and that it is better for us to marry them than to fall into fornication, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala scares us away from that in Surah An-Nur, where He says, الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك. Where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us that a fornicating man or an adultery committing man, he only marries a fornicating lady or a disbelieving lady. And a fornicating lady only marries a fornicating man or a disbelieving man. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and other than this verse in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that shows us fornication and adultery is from the major sins, and that we should stay away from it. And one of the ways to stay away from it is to marry the believing women, those who are readily available from the women who have already been married before. Also, from among the virtues of many of the women who have been married before are the women who have children. And those women who have children are called mothers. The women who have been married before, who have children, are called mothers. And we know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He speaks highly of the mothers or the parents in general in the Quran, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Isra, verse number 23 and 24, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُل لَّهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُل لَّهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُل رَّبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us, and your Lord has decreed or prescribed that you only worship Him, and that you are kind to your parents. So much so that if one or both of them have reached an old age, that you don't say anything bad to them, and you don't act in a manner that's not befitting to your parents, and you speak to them in a nice manner, and that you are very merciful to your parents, or as they say, and lower your wing of mercy to them, and say, my Lord, show your mercy on both of them as they have raised me when I was small. Here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He's showing the importance of being kind to our parents, and among the parents are the mothers. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is mentioning this kindness to the parents after the worship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, showing the importance in Islam of being kind to the parents. And these women who have children, we shouldn't just look at them as women who have children, but we should look at them as mothers who deserve kind treatment.
as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He tells us in this verse, and as He tells us in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 36 also, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. I command you to worship Allah and don't ascribe any partners to Him, and to treat your parents kindly. And among the parents that ought to be treated kindly are the Muslim women who have children. So here Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, though He's speaking about both of the parents, they're definitely including the mother, and this is beginning to show the position or the status of the mother in Islam. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to explain, as he explains from this hadith collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, أحب الأعمال إلى الله الصلاة لوقتها ثم بر الوالدين ثم الجهاد في سبيل الله. And this authentic hadith by collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the most beloved deeds to Allah are salah at the beginning of his time, and then being kind to the two parents, the mother and the father, and then al-jihad fi sabilillah. So here Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us among the virtues of the Muslim women. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said, رضا الرب في رضا الوالد وسخط الرب في سخط الوالد. And this is collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the pleasing of your Lord is in the pleasing of the parents, and the displeasure of your Lord is from the displeasure of the parents. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us, in order to get closer to our Lord tabarak wa ta'ala, or to do that which is pleasing to Him, is to do that which is pleasing to the parents. And many of the Muslim sisters who are mothers, they would definitely tell any brother that to marry them and to be kind to them and to take care of them would definitely please them, and pleasing the parent is pleasing to our Lord. And I hope that I'm not stressing this too far, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows that. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam goes on in the next few hadith to show out of the parents the importance of the mother over the father, as he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of his companions said, Inna jahama ja'a ila an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa qala ya rasulullah aradtu an aghzwa wa qad ji'tu astashiruka fa qala hal laka min ummin قال نعم قال فالزمها فإن الجنة تحت رجليها. And this is collected by Imam An-Nasa'i, and this narration is authentic. This narration is collected by Imam An-Nasa'i, and this narration is authentic, where Jahama had come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ورضي الله عن Jahama. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I want to fight jihad fi sabilillah, and I came to ask your advice. Here, Jahama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wants to fight jihad fi sabilillah, that which is recommended and not the compulsory jihad, that which you have the choice to fight in or not to fight in. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, do you have a mother? He said, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, stick close to her, because indeed Jannah is underneath her two legs. Stick close to her, because Jannah is underneath her two legs. Or as we see in the narration of Imam Ahmad, and this narration is also authentic, where the Prophet ﷺ said, إِلْزَمْهَا فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِهَا. I command you to hold fast to her, because indeed Jannah is under her feet. So here the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, and these authentic narrations, is showing us that we should hold fast to our mothers and to take care of them firstly. And then, as we see that this is the virtue, or this is the status of a lady who has children, that she is a mother, that her children have to stay close to her in order to take care of her. And if you marry her, then you're going to get some of that virtue, inshallah ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the next hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, not in his Sahih, but in his book called Al-Adab al-Mufrad,
He brings the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna Allaha yusikum bi ummahatikum thalathan, anna Allaha ta'ala yusikum bi abaikum marratayn, inna Allaha ta'ala yusikum bil aqrabi fal aqrab." Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah advises you to take care of your mothers three times, and He advises you to take care of your fathers twice, and He advises you, Allah advises you, to take care of your relatives according to how close they are to you. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is advising the believers to hold fast to their mothers and to be kind to their mothers, because the status of the mother is a very high status in Islam. And if we marry a lady who already has children, then that means that we are marrying a lady who has a particular type of status that is pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam in this last hadith is prohibiting us from being mean to the mothers, or evil to the mothers, or unkind to the mothers, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's Messenger says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Inna Allah ta'ala harrama alaykum and Allah has made hateful and haram for you also hearsay," or "he said, she said, asking too many questions and wasting your money." So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, after Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran, showing the status of the mother, the lady who has children already from a previous marriage, and that this lady isn't a lady to be looked down upon, but this is a lady that has been raised up to a particular status by her Lord, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, for giving birth to the Muslims. So this talk, "Save the Community, Take Another Wife," we're encouraging the brothers to marry the sisters who have been married already, and to marry the sisters who have children already. Even if you already have one, then get another one, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, as we have brought from Surah An-Nisa, "I advise you to marry those women who you like, 2, 3, and 4. And we know that it's from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry more than one lady, as the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam had his share of women, radiyallahu anhunna wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has set an example for the people, and whoever is displeased with his Sunnah is not from among them." We know also the narration, as the men do, of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the best of you are the one who has the most wives. That the best of you are the one that has the most wives. So we're trying to encourage the brothers to marry those sisters who have been married before, who have children, so that we could help to save the community. And we're not saying that this is the only way that we're going to save the community, by marrying another lady or by marrying the women who have already been married previously, or the women who have children, that this is the answer. If we do this, then our community is saved. No, this is just one of the ways to help save our communities, the Muslim communities, from the indecencies of fornication and adultery. And then once we have married those women, then we should take the advice of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is important for us to take into consideration after we marry the women. And this is just a warning for myself and for the believing men. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, "Wa'ashiruhunna bil-ma'roof," and "I command you to live with them," with your wives, "in kindness." Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He commands us to live with the women in kindness. And that after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses us to be among the Muslim men who marry the women, 2, 3, or 4, and if we're not able to be just and only one, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses us to marry our share of the women, then we have to know that Allah has also commanded us to be kind to the women. And that the women, they have rights, just like they have rights against them, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us, "Walahunna mithlu allazi alayhinna," that the women, they have rights
just like the rights against them bil ma'ruf, that the women have rights for themselves just as they have rights against themselves. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he also encourages us, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala encourages us, to treat the women kindly, as he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خيركم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي. And this is the narration of al-Tabarani, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah says, the best of you are the best of you to his wife, and I'm the best of you to my wife. The best of you are the best of you to your wives, and I'm the best of you all to his wives. Or as he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam also tells us from the hadith of البخاري ومسلم استوصوا بالنساء خيرا فإنهن خلقن من ضلع وإن أعوج شيء في الضلع أعلاه فإن ذهبت تقيمه كسرته وإن تركته لم يزل أعوج فاستوصوا بالنساء خيرا. And this is the narration collected by البخاري ومسلم, and from the narration of Imam Muslim, إن المرأة خلقت من ضلع لن تستقيم لك على طريقة فإن استمتعت بها وبها عوج وإن ذهبت تقيمها كسرتها وكسرها طلاقها. And this is also authentic. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, I advise you, I command you to be kind to your women. And this is a commandment from the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام to the men who are married, that he has commanded us to be kind to them. And this being kind to them is being kind to them in every kind of way. The way we treat them, the way we speak to them, the way we spend on them, the way everything, our relationship between them should be nothing but kindness, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us. And he said, because indeed they are created from the rib, and the most crooked part of the rib is the uppermost part. So if you try to straighten it, you will break it, and if you leave it alone, it will remain crooked. I command you to treat the women kindly. And this is from the wisdom of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he's showing us to seek a particular way that we deal with the women, not to be too hard on them as order to break them, and not to be too lax with them in order to let them do whatever they want to, but to try to seek a way in between, as the Prophet ﷺ shows us from the narration of Imam Muslim. Indeed, the lady is created from the rib. So if you try to make her perfectly upright, you will never be able to make her perfectly upright. And if you enjoy her, then enjoy her and know that she is a little crooked. And if you try to straighten her, you would break her, and breaking her is divorcing her. So here the Messenger of Allah is showing us that the women are never going to be perfect or exactly the way that the men want them, but that this isn't a problem, that we still can enjoy the women even though the women aren't perfect and the men aren't perfect either, and perfection is only for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but that we should know that the women are never going to be perfect, and that the men shouldn't expect too much from the women, or expect from the women more than the women have the ability to give. But they shouldn't also, on the other hand, let the women go to do whatever they want to, but that the men, they should try to seek a way in between, and that is being kind to your women. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam also shows us from the narration of Imam al-Tirmidhi, Allah was sawsu bin nisa'i khayran fa innama hunna awan indakum laysa tamlikuna minhunna shay'a ghayra dhalik illa an ya'tina bi fahishatin mubayyina fa in fa'alna fahjuruhunna fil madaji' wadribuhunna darban ghayra mubarrah fa in ata'nakum fala tabghu 'alayhinna sabila. ألا إن لكم على نسائكم حقا ولنسائكم عليكم حقا فأما حقكم على نسائكم فلا يطعن فرشكم من تكرهون ولا يأذن في بيوتكم لمن تكرهون ألا وحقهن عليكم أن تحسنوا إليهن في كسوتهم وطعامهم. Here in this authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I advise you to treat the women kindly. And we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many hadith is advising us to treat the women kindly. As we know in one of these narrations, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his farewell speech to humanity, he mentioned this part: I advise you to treat the women kindly. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, they are like slaves with you, except that you don't own them. They are like slaves with you, except that you don't own them. So if any one of them does an abominable deed, a fahisha tumbayyin, or something that's just intolerable, then stay away from their beds or do not be intimate with them. And then if that doesn't work, then beat them with a light type of beating, and not to beat them harshly. And if they obey you, then don't seek any way against them. Indeed, your women have rights over you, just as you have rights over your women. And indeed, your right over your women is that فَلَا يُطِئْنَا فَرَشَكُمْ مَنْ تَقْرَهُونَ. And I forgot the meaning of that. And then the Messenger of Allah says, and they do not let anyone into your houses that you dislike. And that their right, the women's right over you, is that you treat them kindly, the way that you clothe them and the way that you feed them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this last hadith tells us, لَا يَجْلِدْ أَحَدُكُمْ لَا يُجَلِّدْ وَلَا يَجْلُدْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِمْرَأَتَهُ جَلْدَ الْعَبْدِ ثُمَّ يُجَامِعُهَا فِي آخِرِ الْيَوْمِ. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, and it's authentic, where the Prophet ﷺ said, do not let one of you beat his wife the way that a person beats a slave. And then he makes love to her at the latter part of the day. Here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has allowed the believing men to enjoy the pleasures of their wives, then the men should be careful in treating the women unkindly. Because why would you treat them unkindly when you want to enjoy yourself later on in the day? So this is some advice from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and guidance. And the finest guidance is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is what we wanted to present for the topic, save the community and take another wife. If there was any good, then it is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And if there is anything wrong, it's from me, wa shaytan, wa astaghfirullah, wa sallallahu wa sallam, wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Referring to Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 34, when Allah says, beat them lightly if it is useful. How light is lightly? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explains, beat them, but not a beat that is with a beating that's not hard, or a beating that won't leave marks or break bones or something like that. A beating that would be light enough in order to let her know something's up, but also it's not hard enough to leave a mark on her, as and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Does this also include daughters? This is referring to the wives and not the daughters. Can you please repeat what you had stated about the brother consummating the marriage without the wali? Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the marriage is invalid. That whoever marries a lady without a wali, then that marriage is null and void. That marriage is null and void. And if the man had consummated the marriage, then that dowry still remains with her when they separate the two. She still keeps the dowry when they separate the two. As you can imagine, if a man married a lady without a wali, and then he realized it, and he didn't consummate the marriage, he wants his money back, so that when he does get married for real, he would have a dowry to give to the lady, and Allah knows best. Is it haram to marry a woman who cannot have children, a barren woman, or is it advised not to? It is advised not to, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We have wanted to mention that this program
is our first public program, or the second public program on the Ilmu Online, where we are trying to use this technology in order to let some of the people who aren't present listen into the lecture. And the brother has said that Brother Farooq and his family are listening from St. Louis. We just wanted to ask them if they had any questions concerning the lecture, or if anyone else from the audience had any other questions concerning this lecture. We'll take his question later. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inshallah, now we're going to take a break from this lecture, and the vending area downstairs is open. We ask right now that everybody can hold on. We got some questions that just come from the sisters here, so we're going to take care of that. And afterwards, we're going to try to open the vending area for the brothers only, inshallah, so we don't have any intermingling. And then when the next lecture starts, inshallah, we'll open that for the sisters only. So we're going to take the sisters' questions from the lecture that just went off. And if the sisters have any questions, they can bring it to the opening in the wall right here. Bring it to the opening in the wall towards the front of the room.
Why is it brothers may marry 2, 3, 4, and 4 wives and they don't have a job? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He tells us in the same surah, الرجال قوامون على النساء, that the men are the providers and the maintainers of the women. And that how can a man, he marry somebody if he doesn't have the money to provide for her, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made him the provider. So I don't know anything about any man marrying 2, 3, or 4 women he doesn't have any money to provide for them. Why is it that imams marry the brothers and they know that the brothers don't have a job? I can't speak for everyone, but for myself, I'm not going to marry anyone to anyone if the man can't provide for his lady, his wife, or if they don't have a type of agreement, because the brother may be disabled or have a particular type of sickness or whatever that would prevent him from holding a job that would earn enough money to take care of his family. And his wife works, and they make a particular agreement or a particular type of arrangement. But outside of this, nobody should marry anybody who can't take care of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also, tell me where in the Quran or Hadith is it okay to marry a brother and sister and the brothers don't have a job. I don't know anything about this, but I could say that if the brother is poor, that it's okay, as we know from the famous hadith where the man had gotten married from what he knew of the Quran, where the lady came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and said, will you marry me, Ya Rasulullah? And he looked at her and said, no, I don't have any need for you. So the man stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, marry her to me. And as the story goes on, he didn't have anything, but it showed his poverty. And then eventually he married her from what he had memorized of the Quran. So if a brother is poor, this is different than not having any type of means to provide for a lady. This just means that he doesn't have much money and Allah knows best. Why is it that sisters marry brothers that have one wife and don't have a job and don't take care of the first wife? I've never heard of that. And take on two and three and four wives. Is it the wife righteous? Is it the right wife to ask her husband for a divorce if she dislikes him and he lies all the time? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this is a paraphrase of the hadith. Any lady that desires a divorce from her husband for no valid reason, then she won't smell the fragrance of paradise. And this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has discouraged the women from asking for divorce for no valid reason. If the sister feels that it's a valid reason, then it's okay for her to ask for the divorce. If a wife is unhappy in her marriage, how does she get a divorce? No, if she's unhappy in her marriage, she should be patient and try to make some type of happiness in her marriage. And that she should know that there's no such thing as a person that's always happy. That all of us, we're human beings, we're happy sometimes, sometimes we're sad. Marriage, sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. And that we have to be patient with that and try to work at it until there's no way possible at all that the sister could remain with the brother. And then she will just ask him to divorce her. What is the position of a brother whose wife aren't able to have children and he didn't know until after the marriage? What is the position of a brother? I don't know. The Prophet ﷺ taught us to marry women who can have babies. And if he marries a lady who already had children, he knows that she can have some babies. And then he wouldn't be in this predicament. And this is what we were trying to get out of our whole talk. Save the community and take another wife. Take one of those women who already have children so you know that they have the ability to have children. What would you please remind the people that one of the hadiths referring to paradise being beneath the feet of the mothers is unauthentic, if you are aware of it? I don't usually memorize the narrations that are not authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'm not really among those people who always point out that this isn't or that isn't authentic. But somebody had reminded me the other day that they say Jannah is under the feet of the mothers or something like that. Anyway, whatever, however that goes, it's not authentic. But you heard that which was authentic. If you're saying that all brothers should take another wife, where is yours? I don't even know if this questioner knows how many wives I have to even ask me, where is mine? Alright, go ahead, Faru.
Assalamu alaikum, Akhi.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What I was wondering was, is there a limit to the type of advice that you should take from your wife or your wives regarding any matter as far as household or things that you're involved in?
Could you repeat that question?
Is there a limit to the types of advice that you should take from your wife or wives regarding matters?
I don't know of anything that would say that there is a particular limit of advice. If your wife gives you advice and it's beneficial, take it. And if it's not, leave it. I mean, that's general with all advice. If somebody gives you good advice, take it. And if they don't, leave it. If she gives you 100 pieces of good advice, then take all 100. If she gives you one piece of bad advice, then leave it. Allah knows best.
Alhamdulillah.
Allah ybarak fi. Should brothers inquire about a sister if they are financially unstable or have other unresolved issues? Isn't this wasting time and energy? Allah knows best, you have to ask that brother. But if the sisters all turn him down, then maybe after a while he'll get the picture, and Allah knows best. If a husband is already harsh or unjust with one wife, how can you instruct or tell the man that no, they can't do justice, or he threatens her with polygyny as mental abuse? From the beginning of this question to the end, we advise that brother that he should repent to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from committing that sin of being harsh and unjust to his wife. And he says, seek Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and he should give his wealth in charity, as this is one of the best ways to have his sins forgiven, because it's just not permissible for a man to treat his wife unjustly. Whether it's this mental abuse or otherwise, it's not permissible for a man to treat his wife unjustly. Is it haram for a sister to tell a brother if he takes another wife, she would divorce him? I don't know if it's haram or not for a sister to say that. I think that there was some narration mentioned for this. If someone else knows it, maybe they'll bring it to my attention. So Allah knows best. This is pertaining to the hadith about a wedding being invalid. What if a woman represents herself in the marriage? For example, it is her husband to be and the imam, not her wali. Her husband to be and the imam. Is this marriage invalid? They say it was done according to Abu Hanifa's opinion. Could you please clarify? Abu Hanifa, he thinks that the hadith la nikaha illa bi wali, the hadith that there is no marriage without a wali, he thinks that this hadith has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah, or rather maybe it's more proper for me to say wasaqfirullah, and may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept from Abu Hanifa and forgive him of his sins, that maybe the hadith la nikaha illa bi wali had never come to Abu Hanifa with an authentic chain. We know that Abu Hanifa, he died 150 Hijra, and that he was around in the early days. I think he was born 79 Hijra. He was around in the early days of Islam before things were settled. As we know, things were getting settled with Imam Malik with the collection of the hadith, and he died 179 Hijra. And then we know with some of the collections of Imam Shafi, who died 204 Hijra. And then we know the famous collections of Al-Bukhari is 256, and Imam Muslim 261. So we see that years later the hadith are finally being collected and put into one book, and then the students are beginning to learn. This is all after the time of Abu Hanifa. So maybe that it didn't come to Abu Hanifa by authentic chain, and this would make Abu Hanifa inshallah forgiven for his position. But what about the one who hears of the authentic chain of this hadith that there is no marriage except with the wali? He has no choice except to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Please speak a little louder because the kids are making noise. Does a sister have to remain in a marriage when the brother is impotent? Firstly, I'm ashamed that someone can even ask this question, because really people should keep this type of business in their houses, and they should make a decision for themselves. Either they want to remain in this state, or they don't want to remain. And not to bring this stuff publicly, we're not kafirs anymore, alhamdulillah, we're Muslims, and we should only speak about things and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Where think some people have to write a little clearer. It's hard to read some of these questions. Wherein you had said the brothers should marry sisters that can give you children. So what about the sister? Not to necessarily have children, but after being married and he becomes impotent, what should she do? I don't know what the sister should do. If she's happy, she should remain with him and be patient with that. And if she's not, then to seek a way out of the marriage to try to be with someone that she can be happy with. Can a woman ask for a man to divorce her if he doesn't treat all of his wives fairly regarding attention, obtaining knowledge, etc.? If the lady has a valid reason, and this goes all the way across the board, if the lady has a valid reason, she can seek a divorce from her husband. If she doesn't have a valid reason, it's not permissible for her to seek divorce. And if she does, then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will prevent her from smelling the fragrance of paradise, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has explained in the authentic hadith. By marrying a second wife, does he have the right to bring down the standard of living for the second wife? A good question. I don't know the answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Maybe in one of our classes in the future we would deal with the verdicts concerning plural marriages when Allah blesses the brothers to have more than one wife. If a man marries more than one, can't afford it, or leans to one more than the other noticeably, or oppressed one because one is more wealthy or beautiful, what should the wife that is neglected do? Do that which is best for her condition. If a Muslim has collected a small amount of interest from a bank, how can it be used? Interest can't be used, it's haram. I realize that there are no blessings involved. Or should it be left with the banker? Can it be used at all to benefit the poor? No, riba is haram, it can't be used at all. Riba is haram, it can't be used at all. As for the question about the lady with the husband who's not fair or whatever, what should she do? I didn't have any advice. She should tell her husband, now that it comes to me, she should tell her husband to fear Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, and to be just between both of them, because if he's not, then he might come on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah with his body leaning to one side. Also, for the people who have questions where they're seeking advice, the people, I don't think that they should feel offended or be upset with me if I don't have good advice for them. I'm just a human being. And the Prophet ﷺ, he tells us that if a Muslim asks for advice, then they have a right that you give it. But not necessarily, that doesn't necessarily mean that we would give good advice or advice that's beneficial, or even that we would have advice all the time. So I hope that the people don't hold me accountable for those questions on advice. What are the women supposed to do who can't have children and are barren, stay unmarried for the rest of their life, or turn into blank? I don't want to read that word. I'm not trying to be funny, but what are they supposed to do? Let their walis know that they're ready to get married, and someone will marry them, inshallah. If the sister has never been married before and doesn't have a wali, that means she can't decide on her own to marry with the brother. A sister has to have a wali if she's going to get married. The wali would present the case of the brother who's proposing, and then she would make the decision. Allah knows best. Where is it in the Quran or hadith that says that it is halal for a woman to relieve the man of his obligation to be the maintainer and provider if she wishes to be the second wife and the man does not have the financial ability to provide for her? This is from Surah At-Talaq, chapter divorce, and I don't know the number of it, 65 or something like that. Verse number 7, where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, لِيُنْفِقُ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَةٍ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلِيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, I command the rich to give his wealth to his wife like he's rich, and the poor one to give out of that which Allah has provided him with. And Allah doesn't burden a soul except that which he has given him. And maybe after that, that Allah would, after those difficult times, Allah would make ease. So a brother, he just provides out of his means. Whether he's rich or poor, he just gives whatever he has, and that's sufficient in the sight of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, walhamdulillah. If a man uses polygyny as a means to make the women compete by threatening to take another or leave two, as if he changes his shoes or draws, the brothers, and this is advice to myself and the brothers, if we're talking to the women or trying to use these types of threats or whatever, and we know that it is offensive to the women, then we should know that it's not permissible for us to treat the women this way. If you want to get married, and you have the right to do so. And if you don't, but don't try to play with the sister in that way. Ask the sister to fear Allah, as Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala teaches us. Sister, fear Allah, act better, so on and so forth. Stay away from her bed, beat her lightly, or divorce her. If a brother is interested in a sister who came from a deviant sect of so-called Muslims who practice magic and other foolishness, the sister doesn't know the sunnah, the husband has been corresponding 2, 3, and 4 times over the telephone with the sister just to talk, but he already has 2 wives and said he can't maintain the sister until a few more months, plus he put intentions on the sister without telling his family and 2 wives, don't marry anybody of deviance. That's just advice. Why are sisters so convinced about brothers being so financially able to take another wife? If he fears his Lord, shouldn't that be enough? During Salat, when one is in Sajda and they yawn, should that person cover their mouth even though the body parts, 7 body parts, should touch the ground floor? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Brother, please speak louder. The sisters can't hear you. Let me just try that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was married to only one virgin, as far as I know. In addition, all but one were barren. Could you please comment on this? Yes, it's just exactly the way you said. If a brother came to an event like this one and sees sisters that may be single, and he knew to the something, how would he go about asking about the sister? We're going to announce who are some of the walis, and maybe let them stand in front of the brothers so that whoever's interested in getting married, they can go up and talk to the walis. What do you have available so they can see if there's a possibility of getting married. Can you please remind the sisters that it is the husband's right. If a person, a brother, takes another wife, that is his choice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If you, a sister, a paying rent and everything else, you are letting yourself get used. So deal with it. Don't complain about if you, a woman, is paying all the bills and still your husband lies to something with you when you are the sole provider, and you take it or leave it. The questions are a little lengthy, and we don't want to cut anyone short, so whoever wants to take a break, they can take a break, and then we'll try to be fair to the sisters and handle their questions, inshallah ta'ala. Is it permissible for the 2 wives to live in the same house if that is what is within his means, if both of them agree, as Ibn Qudama rahimahullah explains? You said that it is prohibited to marry disbelieving women. Is it also prohibited to marry the disbelieving women of the people of the book? Yes. And you can see the details in the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Can you give some thorough examples of valid reasons for a wife to ask for a divorce, and where is your source coming from? No, I can't give any examples. Meaning I don't have any examples to give. Why is it that if the wife is not pleasing to her husband, then he can easily divorce her and that's it? But if the husband is not pleasing to his wife, then the divorce is not the answer. I don't know of the truthfulness of that statement. Who becomes a sister's wali when she doesn't have one? The leader of the Muslims, whether the emir, the imam, or whoever's in charge. You said earlier that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something in the Quran, He mentions it in the order of importance. Is this the same with the ayat, marry 2, 3, or 4, and if you feel you can't deal justly with them, then marry 1? I said that some of the ulama, they say that at times Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions this, and not that necessarily in every single case is this like that. So as far as that verse, I don't know, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. Didn't you say, come talk to you in your office about a wife? Didn't you say, come talk to you in your office about a wife? This is from one of the questions of the brothers. I told the brothers to come to my office, and we'll talk about finding them a wife, as I'm in contact with the walis of the community, and I can let them know. If it's a sister, I tell the sisters they have to talk to their walis if they want to get married. Please explain living according to his means. Means whatever he has, he gives from it. If he makes $500, does he have to spend it all, or can he spend what is needed? Please explain. A man, when he makes his, when he earns his living, he spends the best way he could on his family. Allah knows best. What is the position of the man who is threatened with divorce if he takes another wife? Does he have to grant it or not? What should he do? I don't know what his position is, except a difficult one. Does he have to grant it or not? On the case of the khulr, when it came to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he advised the man to let the sister go. What should he do? He should try to be kind to his wife and make her understand that, sister, whatever Allah decrees for you is going to be. And that the sisters just can't run from polygyny forever, because when we get on the deen like we're supposed to be, it's going to be nowhere to run. And all you have to do is see at some of the countries in the world, like some of the West African countries, and maybe even some of the villages in India, where people are marrying more than one wife, that you don't have any place to run except to be someone's co-wife. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for the sisters. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, we can see that Allah allows the men to marry Ahlul Kitab women. Is there a difference of opinion on this? If so, please elaborate. Also, please show the difference and the prohibition of marrying pagan women in Surah An-Nur. Jazakallahu khairan. As far as the difference of opinion, we know that Surah Al-Ma'idah is the last chapter with verdicts on the deen revealed, as it was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ in Arafah, when he was making the farewell pilgrimage, the Hajj. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in that Surah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, this day I perfected for you your deen. And it has that statement in it. So I don't know that people differ with the verdict of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but no one has the right to. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.